So bread in the Western world is usually thought of kind of as a side item for meals. In the Middle East, bread is the main dish. Now all the other things are sides, accompaniments to bread. Now, Eastern bread, and I'm talking about bread in the Middle East, Central Asia, Greece even. The bread is flat. Now, it's not a nice round loaf that we think of, but it's the flat kind of bread, which, you know, baked on stones, puffs up, and all of a sudden you have a pocket bread. It's kind of the bread that they have and what they eat every day. And get back to the Lord's Prayer. And there's that phrase in there, that sentence that reads, "Give us this day our daily bread." And for, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I suppose in some parts of the world, if Jesus was speaking there, would read, "Give us this day our daily rice." It would mean the same thing. Yeah, you know, especially in the recent months, couple years, as the economy has been in increasing turmoil, as stock market has declined, as debt has risen, foreclosures, layoffs, people are feeling fear. People are feeling unease, especially in regards to the future. How are we going to survive? How will we be able to afford the mortgage payment, the rent payment? How will we be able to afford heating? How can we purchase the necessary groceries? Now, yet on the other side, we're still expected to keep up appearances, or there's the desire to keep up appearances, to continue to buy, to spend, especially maybe during this time of year, the Christmas season. So we get to "Give us this day our daily bread." Well, it's a petition, our petition to God. What does it mean? What does it mean, "give us"? First of all, we need to see and realize that, let's give us. It's a petition for us, the community, this day. Now, it's not for next year, it's not for retirement, but it's for today. Give us this day our daily bread. This last phrase is actually ambiguous. The Greek is not very clear as to what it means. Our daily bread is the traditional English interpretation, translation of the Greek. This word that's translated into daily occurs only in the Lord's Prayer. There's no other example of it anywhere in all of Greek literature. It's etiosios. It occurs in both versions of the Lord's Prayer, both in Matthew and in Luke. They said nowhere else in the Greek language. And so scholars have come to the conclusion and belief that it was probably an invention of the Gospel writers. It was an invention to try to explain what Jesus was trying to say. And so the question we have then is, what can it mean? Some possibilities. It's in regards to time, as in today. Give us our bread for today. Or perhaps it could be tomorrow. Give us our bread for tomorrow. Or it could be in regards to the amount of bread. Give us our bread for today or tomorrow, but just enough to keep us alive. Or it could also mean what we need for our well-being. Now, because one of the things is that when a person isn't sure that there's going to be quite enough for tomorrow, there's that kind of worry, that kind of anxiety, and so today is affected by what a person believes about tomorrow. And so maybe what Jesus was instructing us to pray is, give us our daily bread for today or for tomorrow, not just enough, barely enough to keep us alive, but enough to give us a sense of well-being, enough to give us confidence for tomorrow. And in fact, each of these four does have support. So which one is right? Which one is best? But before you answer that, let's go a little further and delve into the meaning of bread. Is it literal or is it symbolic? I want to read a number of Old Testament references to bread. One of the first ones occurs in Genesis chapter 28. Well, this is after Jacob goes into exile from his family because of the deception that he did in regards to the food that he gave to his father Isaac and the blessing. In Genesis 28, verses 18 to 22 read, "So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow saying, 'If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and the stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you.'" And so here Jacob is requesting sufficient food to keep him on his journey. Not just for a journey away, but for the journey back. Another place where the idea of bread comes up is in Genesis chapter 41. This is the famine in Egypt when Joseph was there. Verses 55 and 56 of Genesis chapter 41. "When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, 'Go to Joseph. What he says to you, do.' So when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt." So here clearly bread is indicative of physical sustenance, of physical nourishment. We go on to Leviticus chapter 24, verses 5 to 9. And this reads, "You shall take fine flour and bake 12 loaves from it. Two tenths of an ephah shall be in each loaf. And you shall set them in two piles, six in a pile on the table of pure gold before the Lord. And you shall put pure frankincense on each pile, that it may go with the bread as a memorial portion, as a food offering to the Lord. Every Sabbath day, Aaron shall arrange it before the Lord regularly. It is from the people of Israel as a covenant forever. And it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, since it is for him a most holy portion out of the Lord's food offerings, a perpetual due." So in Leviticus, this idea of bread is not only physical, literal, but it's also symbolic of a covenant, symbolic of a presence of the divine that's among them. And I won't take the time to read some of the others, but just to mention, in Exodus, manna is often equated to bread. And once you get to the books of Kings, you have Elijah and ravens providing bread, daily bread, during a drought. How does Matthew, the gospel writer, use the concept of bread? Now, Matthew's target audience were Jews who were familiar with Scripture, who were familiar with what we call the Old Testament. And Matthew frequently uses Scripture to show how the past is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Throughout his gospel, he uses direct references, paraphrases, and allusions in order to link the old to the new. So I want to look at just a few of those examples. This is more or less a list of Matthew's references to bread. And I'm going to read a few of them. Matthew chapter 4 is the story of the temptation. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Chapter 6, of course, is what we're studying, the Lord's Prayer. Chapter 7 is still part of the Sermon on the Mount. And again, this Jesus makes reference to bread here. I'm going to read that, verses 7 through 11. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" So here Jesus ties, or gives the example of asking for bread, and ties it to how God is willing and desiring to give all that we need. Going down into chapter 12, I'll just read it, Matthew chapter 12. "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck the heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.' He said to them, 'Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Jesus refers back to what I earlier read in Leviticus, the bread that's in the temple or in the sanctuary, and how David was given that. And here, clearly, bread is a symbolic item pointing forward. Matthew chapter 15. "And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' She said, 'Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed instantly." And so bread here, again, has a very much of a symbolic value, symbolic meaning. And immediately after that follows the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And immediately after that, you know, this is where a short anecdote, a vignette, where the disciples are on the boat following the feeding of the 5,000, where they discover they have no bread, and Jesus talks to them about the leaven of the Pharisees. Then one of the last references to bread in Matthew happens at the Last Supper, in Matthew chapter 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, and this is my body." Now, so, which is it? Literal or symbolic when it comes to the Lord's Prayer? This is from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, number of excerpts on the entry for bread. In the East, bread is primary, other articles of food merely accessory. As everything depended upon the wheat and barley harvest, bread was in a peculiar sense sacred. Or bread was regarded as peculiarly a gift of God, a daily reminder of His continual and often undeserved care. A few more here. Bread is a sign and symbol of hospitality and friendship. The giving and receiving of bread is. And it's a violation of the sacred law of hospitality to decline the bread that's offered, or to set it aside as unfit for use. And bread is the perpetual symbol among His disciples of the communion of saints. And so, for us, bread is a very ordinary item. It's just food. But to the culture to which Matthew was written, there was no, I guess, separation or dichotomy between both the symbolic and the literal aspects of bread. It was both. Bread was certainly something that they needed to sustain them physically, but bread was also very much symbolic of a relationship, of sacredness, of a gift. And it was a reminder that there was a divine God who was providing them with everything that they needed to sustain life. And so we go back to the daily. Jesus spoke Aramaic. Now, we think Greek is the original language, but and that may have been what was originally written as far as the Gospels were concerned, but what was written was a translation of what Jesus spoke in Aramaic. And so Gospel writers translated what Jesus spoke in Aramaic into Greek. Old Syriac, of which a number of the New Testament books are preserved, is very close to the Aramaic. In the Old Syriac, it reads literally, "Amen, bread today give to us." And "Amen" has the meaning that it is lasting, it is never ceasing, never ending, it is perpetual. And so we might translate that to say, "Give us today the bread that doesn't run out." So does this help us a little bit to figure out an interpretation of daily? Is it today? I think it is. No, today is always today. Tomorrow is always in the future. When we get to tomorrow, tomorrow becomes today, and tomorrow is still tomorrow in the future. And so this a petition to give us our daily bread is for today, but it's also for tomorrow, because to petition for the never-ceasing, never-ending, perpetual bread. It's enough to sustain us, but it's also, I believe, enough to give us confidence about the future, to free us from the fear that we won't have enough. Says how Kenneth Bailey, in his book, which is kind of a commentary, writes in regards to this verse: "Deliver us, O Lord, from the fear of not having enough to eat. Give us bread for today, and with it, give us confidence that tomorrow we will have enough." And so, now give us this day our daily bread. Before we conclude, I just want to make a few more points here. The prayer is for bread. It's not for cake. We ask for what we need, not necessarily all the extras that we might want to have. Again, it's important to note that the petition reads, "Give us." It's not "give me." This bread, which is both literal and I believe symbolic, which God gives to us, is a gift. And it's a gift meant to benefit the community, not just an individual. And so if some of us have been given more, it's because we're meant to share it with those that lack. And when we pray the request, "Give us this day our daily bread," I believe it's a request that somehow our hearts will be changed so that we become the means of sharing God's blessing to others. It's a prayer through which we request relief from our own fears, and then through that we become a means of bringing hope to the fearful and hopeless that may be around us. We might begin by sharing literal bread, but physical bread can only preserve physical life for so long. And so I believe we should always be looking for ways to share the true bread, the bread of life, that is truly, truly eternal, truly never ceasing, truly is perpetual, and who is the only one who can remove all fears and replace them with hope and confidence. This is going to be our closing hymn, number 135, but no, I think it ties in quite well. This petition for bread, for daily bread, for bread that is never ceasing, has come. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. So hymn number 135.